Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what's lurking in the darkness of an old haunted house that a child grew up in?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like the show, help keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. An EPP, as we call them. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus episodes, all the extra stuff, and it helps keep us on the air. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Happy, happy day. How are you?
I'm doing well. I just bought a drone.
Shut up, really?
I just did. Yeah, it's charging in my kitchen right now. I decided I wanted to get a drone because of all the kind of filming stuff me and Harper have been doing. And there's just so many neat, cool, creepy locations that you can't access or get close enough to. So I'm like, we're getting a drone, honey. So did my research. I found a good one for photography and all that. And so, yeah, I'm up in my video game a bit.
I love it. I had a chance when I was working with a group to do a little drone work. It scares the shit out of me because, like, there's a lot of, you got a lot of money in your hands, yeah, and you're trying to, decipher which way to go with the wind and all that kind of stuff. So I never really enjoy it. I get more freaked out about it than anything, but I've been on shoots and stuff like that where, you're at the top of a lighthouse,
mm-hmm,
and the drone is like literally in your face and then it'll fly back really fast.
Yeah.
And it's one of the coolest shots you've ever seen before, but I could never actually operate one myself. I'm glad you got one. I bet you'll do some good stuff with that.
I'm excited. There's a lot of features on these now that really like kind of prevent you from crashing them. So I did look into that pretty well. And there's a lot of things that really, there's a neat feature on this one I just got where you can look at the video screen showing, where the camera's looking, and you can highlight something you want it to focus on and then press a button. And then the drone itself goes around and gets you like 8 different cinematic shots of whatever you wanted it to focus on.
Shut up.
All by itself. Yeah. You just press a button and like, it'll do like a slide, it'll do like an overview. It'll do like all different ones. And then it's all on your data card and then you can use it for whatever you're doing. So
I was still alive when the Brownie cameras were still being used from Kodak. Those were the ones that you would hold in front of you,
yeah,
and you'd look down to see the person in front of you. If they moved to the left, you'd have to move to the right in your viewfinder in order to see. I mean, technology in my lifetime has just gone crazy.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, just to think of that. I mean, I was blown away that these things could do it. I mean, I've never had a drone before. Other than like a real cheap, like $10 one, I think I bought like at a checkout one day going, let's see what this does. And I think I crashed it on the first time I played with it. But I've been wanting to get one for this stuff. So I'm just so excited to get out there and use it and see things. And I think between recording with you tonight and then I'm recording with Carol and an hour later, I'm going to see how much drone time I can get in. And who knows, maybe by the other episodes I record tonight, I'll have already crashed it. Who knows?
It's going to be one of those things that you're going to be totally, enthralled in for a while. Like people who do video games and stuff, they get a new video game and that's what you're going to be doing for the next week or two.
There was a couple different options on this thing. I got one that you just do look at the screen on like your phone connects to it and that's your screen. There was another one I was looking at, but it wasn't as good for photography. I guess it was more for like exploring, which sounded really cool too, where it comes with like a headset, like a VR headset. And then you're seeing that way as this thing explores wherever you want it to go within like 7 miles.
Too crazy.
I know. It's amazing. So anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first letter of the day. And it starts out, I grew up in a haunted house, grew up in a 2-story farmhouse just outside of a small town in Kansas. The house was built in the 1930s and sat on 7 acres. It was a river that ran through our property that was only about 50 yards from the back of the house. There were 4 bedrooms and a bathroom upstairs. The kitchen, another bathroom, laundry room, a bedroom, dining room, and living room were on the main floor. There was also an unfinished basement. Old houses settle and have creaks and cracks that are recognizable after years of hearing it. What I heard was not that. You could hear someone walk up the stairs one step at a time from the bottom step to the top step. Remember one time when I was about 12, I was moving my room around, and because of how I rearranged my furniture, I needed to move a picture I had hanging on the wall. My dad always stayed up to watch the 10 o'clock news and then would come up to bed. My parents' bedroom was on the south side of the stairwell and mine was on the north side. I had my door shut so I would not disturb my mom, who was already asleep. I heard my dad come up the stairs and thought, okay, I need to tell him that I need him to move the picture tomorrow. I flung my bedroom door open and said, "Dad," then realized he was not there. I thought he had already made it around the corner and was getting into bed, so I walked over to their doorway, and before I could say anything, I realized he was already in bed and sound asleep. I went back to my room. It was after 11:30. It was not until I was in my 30s that my parents and I were talking about that house. We moved when I was 16. My dad out of the blue said that house was haunted. I could not believe it. We had never discussed this, and I never had told anyone that I'd heard anything. I asked why he thought that, and he said, "You could hear someone walking up the steps." I was floored. My mom never heard anything. I have a theory about this. The man my parents bought the house from was, I believe, the original owner. He was getting older and could not live by himself anymore and was forced to sell. He told my dad that he wanted to come back before he died and walk up those stairs one more time. He never made it back. I did not know the story until my dad revealed that he had heard the footsteps too. I also felt like I was being watched whenever I was in the house. We stacked our dishes in the sink to dry, no drying rack, and sometimes the dishes would shift. The sink was ceramic, so you would hear the scraping or clinking of glass or ceramic. I heard the very loud one, a loud noise one Saturday morning when I was in the house by myself. It was never that loud, so I went and looked, thinking maybe something broke. There's no dishes in the sink, clean or dirty. To this day, I've not been able to explain that sound. I talked with my nephew recently. My brother and his family moved into that house after we moved out. Without any prompting, he said that house was haunted. I asked why he thought so. He too heard the footsteps walking up the stairs, felt like he was constantly being watched. He also said he heard whispering when no one was around. I heard recently that sometimes kids that live in haunted houses will have imaginary friends that seem real. That made me think about my childhood. I had 2 imaginary friends when I was little. I did not have them until we moved to that house when I was 3. I still remember their names, Janice and Junior. They were always together, and my mom said I had conversations with them. I vaguely remember talking to them, but do not remember any specific conversations we had. I also not remember if I actually saw them or if they were truly imaginary. That's my story. I'm glad to have it. I'm glad way to share it. My husband and daughter do not believe in ghosts, and I think that's why they think it's all in my head, that there's some other logical explanation. I told them that if they had an experience, that they too would believe. Interesting. Lots to unpack on that haunted house story, and a lot of revelations they kind of made through talking to people over the years.
Yeah, I think that's the most interesting part, was the fact that all this stuff had been going on over years and years and years, and nobody ever said anything. And then for whatever reason, I think people get to a point in their lives when they finally go, you know, that house was haunted. I always heard people walking up the stairs. And, you know, for this individual, I'm glad that her father was finally able to just, you know, let his guard down and say it, because it gave her some validation to what she was experiencing.
Yeah. And they can all have that validation now, including your brother too, where it's like, yeah, we all heard this. We all had these experiences there.
Yep. Yep.
And it's interesting, you know, all the layers of it too, where they get into having an imaginary friend and just all those things that kind of come along with it. And you go, yeah, maybe that had something to do with this. Maybe that did too. And it just, the pieces of the puzzle keep being put together. Thanks for sharing that. Speaking of fun revelations that you have about your childhood, Todd actually, just before we went on the air, gave me some information about a place that I used to go and hang out all the time that he was at this weekend. And we've talked about this place on the air many a times, Ryanzi Cemetery in my hometown. go ahead. I mean, share what you were exploring this this weekend, and then I'll add in my little weirdness to this.
Well, I love history, and I love cemeteries and all that kind of stuff, and have been to Rienzi before, never in daylight, though. So this was the first time that I actually had a chance to go through and be out there and actually get a look at it and a feel for it. This thing's a really old cemetery. I think one of the earliest stones out there is from like 1845, I want to say. Mm-hmm. The story goes that a farmer owned about 8 acres of land in this area, and when his son died, he buried his son there. That was the first grave. And if you go there, you can see it at the top of the hill. But it's such a, it's an interesting cemetery in that most cemeteries, there's an old part, and then things get, you know, closer and closer to current date as you kind of get away from that old part. There's old parts all over this cemetery.
Yeah.
And it's not rows. It's just like weird clumps of cemetery, you know, of burial places and stones that have knocked over and fallen into other ones. And the thing that I had been told about was this area of a mass grave for excommunicated nuns from the area that resided in the cemetery. And so I went there on Sunday, yesterday, actually, with my sister. And sure enough, on this hill, there is an area for nuns from the area, sisters of something or another. And there were actually fresh flowers on some of the graves out there yesterday. And then if you go over the hill kind of and down a ways, all by itself, there's a headstone that says another, you know, sisters of something or another, rest in peace. And it's just one headstone in this large grassy area. And you can kind of see an indentation where there may be a mass grave, which is what I'm told is there. And 4 stones in each corner of this kind of sunken area that have crosses on them. Mm-hmm. They're just, you know, flat square stones in the ground. And the lore, the story is that they were excommunicated nuns who were caught doing witchcraft type things. And I can't, you know, how do you back that up? I haven't found any research to actually back that up. But the interesting thing was when I was out there, I always look at headstones and stuff to see if people have placed pennies or dimes or quarters or little knickknacks and stuff out there. This one had a circle of pennies on it and a black candle that had been melted on it, which, you know, everybody thinks right away, you know, black magic of some sort or some sort of ceremony taking place out there. And there are stories of that out in that cemetery.
Yeah, there
are. It locks itself at 8 o'clock at night. It's out in the middle of nowhere. You could go out there and get into a lot of trouble if you wanted to.
Yeah, and they used to have tons of issues in there. When I was a kid in the 80s, there was a ton of vandalism out there, and so many of the stones are damaged. And if you go through the cemetery, they've done a lot of work to restore a lot of those stones. It used to be really bad. There was chunks all over the place, but they've tried to piece them back together the best that they could if the parts were there. There was what I loved about that place is because it was so creepy. And where I would go into that cemetery, there were two ways. There was one way which I would go through, and you had to like cross this old shed that was, I think, like a maintenance shed. And in this shed had just like layers of old gravestones in it that I think maintenance, you know, that had been broken down or something, and then maintenance had taken them. And right. That was just a creepy, weird thing to see. And then you walk into the cemetery. The other area I would walk in is right by where those nuns were buried. And when I was a kid, there was 4 stone crosses that were, they were tall. They stood up a little ways out of the ground, but of course they all got vandalized and eventually they were just laying on the ground in pieces. And I knew that's where the nuns were, but there was never like names on anything. It was just like those crosses. And I thought it was very weird that they weren't marked. But now you've just told me they got the 4 crosses that are in the ground so they can't get vandalized. And they mark that big green spot. And I was wondering why it was such an open area right there, right by the pet cemetery. Because you could easily put a bunch of graves there. Well, apparently there is.
And there's room around it to put more graves, but they're not touching that area at all, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that was, I never knew why, but this is also the area where I would go into the cemetery and I would tend to play a lot of, I'd go in there with my proton pack pretending I was a Ghostbuster and then, you know, run around. But this area was an area I frequented so much right there And so it's just crazy to me thinking that one of my favorite play spots was on top of a mass grave for excommunicated nuns.
Here's a really weird part, and I'll tell you this, and you may think I'm crazy, but I'm standing there down in this area where the mass nun grave is.
Yeah.
And right behind it is this row of trees and kind of wooded area that goes up into a hill.
Yeah. Yep.
And I said to my sister, I think that's where Tony came through right there, because his house is kind of back in this direction.
Yep.
And yeah, I mean, it was just, it was creepy. And the other thing too, is it's like way at the back of the cemetery, way away from anything else. There's this green plot of grass and this, just this one headstone there that I would say is maybe within the last 10 years has been put out there.
Sure. So. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And if you go up in the woods a little ways, you'll find my old fort, which actually still somewhat exists. At least as of about, well, it was probably, well, at least 10 years ago was the last time I was up there and checked it out. But yeah, it was in the side of a tree that had, it was like it split in half, so it looked like this, it would still live. The tree was big and tall, but it had like almost this hearth to it, like a fireplace type feel. And then the other portion had tipped over, and it kind of created this little like nook in the center of where this tree is. And I would go in there and hang out, and there was like grapevines and everything around there at the time, and I like made a roof and all that. But I found that very tree that had the kind of the hearth in it still standing. Well, at least, like I said, as of 10 years ago. I want to get back up there again sometime with my daughter and show her, because she's never seen it, and then we can wander.
That would make a great episode for your video show.
Yeah. Yes, it would. That would be great. So we'll do that sometime, and then we'll wander into the back of the cemetery and use a little equipment or see if we can communicate with any of the mass grave nuns.
Absolutely.
There we go. Good father-daughter activity. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next letter says, my name is Barbara. Came across your podcast and I find it very interesting. My story is not so much of a ghost story, but more of a story about dreams. Oftentimes I have reoccurring dreams, same elements, but different scenario. Main element is the water and a lot of time some fish. So I dreamed everything from seawater, lake, river, stream, pool, clear water, polluted water, small fish, bigger, big horrific fish, dead fish, aquarium. Anyhow, I dream that I'm writing about was very different and special. When I was in college, I was very good friends with a girl and was my classmate. She had some medical issues after a car accident, but also some family issues. So after she graduated, she went abroad to continue and upgrade her studies. We met before she left and said our goodbyes. We stayed in contact for a while, but as time went by, there was less and less communication between us. Anyway, I got the opportunity to go for an internship in the same country that she was in, but never made the time to visit her in another city. A couple years went by and I found out that my friend was very sick and she had died. Even though I've not seen her in such a long time, I was very shocked and sad. I went to her funeral and all of it seemed so surreal. A year after that, I was going through my Facebook and I stumbled on her profile picture and was just thinking of her and how sorry I was that I didn't visit her. I did not linger on that thought. I just went on with my regular daily routine. After a few days passed, I had the strangest dream. I was standing in the beginning or end of a very long bridge. I couldn't see the other side. I was looking over the bridge while leaning on the fence. I turned my head back and saw my friend coming towards me with a smile on her face. I immediately burst into tears and said, "What are you doing here? You died." She softly smiled, hugged me, and said, "Everything's all right. I just came to say goodbye." In that instance, I woke up and started crying. She really just came to say goodbye. I keep all this for myself, but the same thing happened to my mother and my aunt. My aunt dreamed of her cousin the night she died. She was wearing a white nightgown and said that she is going now. My mother dreamed about my grandmother years after her death. She's walking up the basement stairs, and my mother asked her what she's doing. Here, she replied, "Oh, just came for a visit." I truly believe that dreams are a reflection of our lives and thoughts, but also could be a place to have some connections to other worlds. That's my story. Hope you'll find it interesting enough and wish you all the best. Thoughts on that and dreams?
Well, you know, the typical thing about water and dreams is that you've got some sort of deep emotions connected to something. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what they kind of gear toward water dreams. But I've, you know, when my mom passed, I had one of those dreams too.
Really?
And it was just one of those situations where out of the blue, and I don't dream about my mom a lot. I don't feel like I have contact with her on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis. I don't feel that connection. Mm-hmm. But one night, not long after she passed away, I had the dream that I was with her and we got to hug and that was it. We've talked about these dreams before. Are they actual visitations from the spirits of these people, their energy? Maybe it is, but maybe it's just our subconscious letting us know that they're probably okay and we're going to be okay after losing them too.
That, and it's hard to know with so many of the dreams, because sometimes, you know, there'll be some sort of thing when you wake out of it that, you know, is like a physical, you know, reminder that, no, this was more than a dream, like the way that that all kind of lines up. But when something's so heavy on one person, it's very easy. You know, it's only a year out since her friend died. She kind of had her on her mind. You know, it wouldn't be hard to, or too far to guess, maybe, you know, this was just her way of trying to deal with it, or her brain just trying to deal with the loss and trying to cope that way. But then sometimes there's just that feeling that you come out of it with and goes, that was different than a normal dream. And the only person that can really truly identify that is that individual. And maybe that's fine, because it's not necessarily meant to be shared with the world. Those things are quite often just for that person. So
exactly.
That's, you know, that's where that goes. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We were out the other day and doing a little video piece investigation thing at it's not truly abandoned, but this year it's been abandoned and all of last year was abandoned. Campground that has cabins on it and everything here near us. And it was really interesting because it's almost felt like it was something out of like Jason or something,
right?
where it's like they're gonna like kill you in your sleep here at the campground, and the old buildings with the rocks and all that stuff, in the stone side. It was such a neat area. But the lake that's there was built with the WPA project years ago in the 30s. And I mean, this is a big lake that people can go and, you know, have recreation in, and it's nice. But I would imagine, and we couldn't find much documented on it, when you have something that large, there's usually a couple deaths involved in the course of creating such a massive thing. Plus, in that lake, you have countless, you know, drownings and things like that over the last nearly 100 years. So we went out onto a dock, and we brought a REM pod, and we brought... I've been using this one of these apps on my phone that acts as an ovilus. And I've had so much luck with that one. It's scary. Like, of all the things that I use, I really like that app because it's not just like giving you words that might pertain to something. It's given me like a series of words that really make sense. And you may have to like think a little bit, you know, to kind of make it make sense, but I don't feel like I'm like making things up. It's like, oh yeah, when that connects like that, it really makes a ton of sense. So I'm pulling it up right here. I think if I can find the log of what it said the other day. I never even caught that one. The word fishing was on there, and we were on the lake.
That's interesting.
That's a scarlet one. Effort, expand, designate. The fishing is interesting because that's right there. I didn't even catch that the other day when we were on there. I just had it because I was working on something else at that moment. Embark, realize. I would think like expand, effort, things like that. At that time, we were talking about the lake and the you know, what does it mean to you? You know, what was your role here? You know, how are you connected to this? That seems to speak to me to someone who may have helped create this thing in the 30s in the WPA right. project. And then we had some other stuff, you know, like, what do you enjoy doing here? Fishing, which I'm kind of mad we didn't catch that part on camera because we were doing the ghost box at that moment. And that would have been, Wow. Well, that like popped up really quick too. It was only on the screen for like 1 minute before another one came up. So anyway, there you go. Even more that I just discovered about that experience. But it was really interesting. And we'll be posting that one real soon. But an interesting spot for an investigation.
I don't know where you find these places, but you find some of the best places to check out. I want to ask you, do you think Harper has sensitivities to stuff like that? Like,
I do.
Do you think she, I don't know why I feel this way. And I've never met your daughter. Mm-hmm. I just get this feeling like that she's more open than maybe even a normal child.
I do. She's always been really sensitive to different things. One that I can think of years ago was we were in the Titanic Museum in Branson. And this is like a 2 or 3 years prior to when Ghost Adventures did their show there. And there's a room that it makes you feel like you're out on the bridge that night on the Titanic. It's that cold. But you don't feel that cold until you open the door and go out there. So she had no idea it was going to be cold. She was about 2 and a half. I was carrying her at the time. And she did not want to go through that door. The rest of the museum, she was just fine with. This was just like another hallway. I mean, there was nothing ominous about it that you could tell. And then she did not want to go in that room. And she was such a good little baby. She hardly ever cried or threw fits, but there was something about that room she did not want to go into. Anyway, we obviously got through it. But then a couple years later on the Ghost Adventures show, that was the room where they're seeing the handprints on the windows.
Right.
And it was that very, very space that we had those experiences at. And I had a friend who was a manager there. She sent me a phone video one day of the Christmas tree being ripped down. Just like someone just jerked it and just pulled it right down to the ground. So there's definitely stuff there, but she could pick up on that when she was really little. She's had weird kind of reactions too sometimes, especially when she was tinier at museums, when you'd like kind of come across something that was darker, you know, or like wreckage of something. She wouldn't really even know what it was at that point in her life, but she would tense up. She'd have a different, feeling to her.
Right.
So, yeah. And I think she still gets it. I think she's kind of trying to figure out, I don't know if it's as strong as it used to be, but I think she's kind of trying to understand when it's right and when it's wrong. But
right. And that's a tough thing to do. I think, yeah. You know, you mentioned, or maybe it was in our first, letter tonight, just, you know, you don't know if it's real mm-hmm. or if it's imagined, you know, that kind of thing. Like with the people who've come to visit you in dreams and stuff like that. Is it real or did we just imagine that kind of mm-hmm. stuff? Maybe she's in that part of her life right now where she's not sure what she's creating mm-hmm. or what she's feeling outside of her own feelings.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's do one more call tonight. 855-853-4802 is our number.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Carol. How are you guys doing? So I've been listening to your guys' podcast for almost a year now, and I've had many experiences since I was a girl growing up and everything, but this in particular, just it literally was super bizarre. But last night, I decided to sage my home since we had a lot of bad, negative energy in our home, and I just want to kind of get rid of it, you know? But last night, my daughter and I were roaming around the house, just going to every single corner. And so we got into my room and she started hearing different little voices in her head. And she asked me if I heard them. I'm like, I'm helping to this thing, but I didn't hear it. And then we go into my bathroom, or my bathroom and like our closets are in there. And I'm in like my little bathroom area, like my toilet area. And the door to the closet decided just to like open a little bit. My daughter's like, oh my God, did you see that? I'm like, ah. So I'm like, I called my partner and I'm like, we're freaking out just a little bit, not too much. And then I'm like still staging, going into my room, going around the corner. And as soon as my partner came up to the door to our bedroom, my daughter ran to her and hugged her and just hysterically bawled her eyes out. But the thing was, like, this was no ordinary like cry she does. It was just unusual cry. It was very hysterical, but it was so scary. Like, I'm like an empath, so I feel the things, and my heart was just feeling so much fear, and like a dark, dark feeling came over my heart and my soul. And I didn't know what to do, but I just kept looking at my daughter, and I'm just like, you know, that's not her. But the thing was, what got me is when she stopped immediately crying and said, that wasn't me. I didn't do that. I wasn't crying. Mom, I'm serious. Like, that wasn't me crying. She's 11 years old, okay? And she doesn't really, like, tap into these things. But the thing was, when she just literally snapped right out of it and said, that wasn't me, it just threw me for a whirlwind. And we kept going to the house and staging, but she kind of like kept, you know, hysterically crying here and there. And I let her hold the whole stick of stage and just, you know, kind of get her to say, you know, get out, whatever. But, you know, I started sharing my story, and that's all. I will call in with more stories. Have a good day, guys. Love you.
Thank you for sharing that. And it's almost like a fun episode of Kids Say the Darndest Things.
I was just going to say how ironic that that call came through on a night that we were just talking about Harper.
I know. And in my mind was going, wouldn't it be great if somebody did like a spoof of Kids Say the Darndest Things with like, what was like Bill Cosby on that show or somebody?
Bill did it. I think somebody else, yeah. Art Linkletter did it way back in the day. Yeah.
So you have that, but like it's all these children who are like possessed going through. So it's like the Exorcist type shit, like your mother sucks cocks in hell. Like, don't kids say the darndest things.
I actually was watching that on a network, I think it was AMC, and they took out all the good stuff, the stuff that you really wanted to hear.
Yeah.
When the mom walks in and she's got the crucifix and she's going to town on herself. Yeah. They took that out, and you know, the lick me, that was all gone. It's like, it's just not the same movie.
It's not. You gotta relive the Disney magic authentically. And did they sometimes it's fun when they make the TV edit and they don't just cut it out, but they redub other words and over lines sometimes. And I can only imagine.
My favorite line in the movie is, do you know what she did? Your cunting daughter.
Yeah.
And they took out the C word, mm-hmm. and it just didn't have the same effect.
No, it doesn't. Well, at least they didn't like change it to some other word they thought would be more like family friendly.
Naughty or something that.
Your very misbehaving daughter. Your mother gives fellatio to people in the...
What a classic
voice. Yes, but the dubbing and the voice is completely different, too. It's like, what the heck? Is that a male voice this time? Yeah.
Right. Some guy named Al that they just gave a microphone to.
Your mother gives fellatio in the dark side. Like, what the fuck? That's a totally out of character voice. Why'd they do that? All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and all the other extras. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.